From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you again. My thanks are due to the Reverend Peter McIntyre of Clogher Valley Free Presbyterian Church for looking after the shop for me, as it were, while I was in Canada conducting some meetings and participating in the ordination and installation of my son Andrew as minister of Penticton Free Presbyterian Church in far-off western Canada. Those who have sent in letters addressed to Mr. McIntyre, be assured I have passed those letters on. Today we will be turning to John chapter 5, the verses 1 to 9, and the subject is the healing of the infirm man by the pool of Bethesda. The latest edition of our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available, and it's free. Do send for your copy. Let me now read the verses 1 to 9 of John chapter 5, and then we're going to listen to the hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. John 5, verses 1 to 9. After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. May God bless this reading from his word. Here's the hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Bye.
We're turning now to the verses that we read together, John 5, verses 1 to 9. John's Gospel is not noted for its accounts of the miracles of Christ. The other writers concentrate on this aspect of the Savior's ministry much more than did John. However, when John does record a miracle, he does so in great detail and records facts about the circumstances surrounding the miracle that the other writers do not. Here in chapter 5, we have one of the few miracles recorded in the Gospel of John. It is that of the healing of the man by the pool of Bethesda. The first thing to be noted is this: the misery this man had been in. His misery resulted from sin. There was no sickness in the world before man fell into sin. Sin brought the curse of sickness and death upon all mankind. It is the root and cause of every disease that has ever plagued men. This man was sorely afflicted, and that is very evident. First of all, he had been sick for a long time. 38 years he had been in pain and endured infirmity. Doubtless those were years of great affliction. When we think of the absence of the medicines and the painkillers, etc., we rely upon today to make illness much more bearable. Again, the fact that he appears to have had none to help or care for him makes his case all the more pitiful. "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool." Verse 7. Furthermore, his sufferings would have been made worse by seeing others healed, while he remained in his misery. "When I am coming," he says, "another steppeth down before me." Verse 7. How ought men to hate sin when we consider just this one case of the suffering that it has brought upon mankind? Every hospital, every graveyard testifies to the dreadfulness of sin. "Fools make a mock at sin," says Proverbs chapter 14:9. But given the suffering that it has brought upon mankind, it is a fool indeed who makes light of sin. Consider, secondly, the mission of Christ was to deliver men from sin's curse. The Savior went to this place of suffering out of compassion for this man. He came and he saw him. Verse 6. The Savior spoke to the man about his suffering. "Wilt thou be made whole?" It is clear that the man did not know who Jesus was. But we read in verse 13, "And he that was healed wist not," or knew not, "who it was." It was not until the man met Jesus later in the temple that he knew the identity of his benefactor. How many wonderful things Christ does for us, and little notice is taken by us of his mercy and goodness. We do not recognize that we have been the subjects of his mercy. Every time we are raised from the sickbed, it is by the hand of Christ. The medicine and drugs given by the doctors, the care taken of us by surgeons and nurses, play a part in this grand scheme of things, without a doubt. But how many are treated with the same drugs and with the same skill, only for them to die? Life and death is not in the hands of the doctors and nurses, and none will admit that more readily than they. While man may do his very best for his fellow man, it is the hand of Christ alone that makes effective unto health all the medicines and care that the sick may receive. Thirdly, there is here a wonderful picture of the mercy and power of Christ to save sinners. The bodily illness of this man presents to us a picture of the spiritual state of all mankind. We are by nature dying under the curse of sin. It will bring us down to everlasting ruin. We are condemned under God's law because of our sinful thoughts, our sinful words, and our sinful deeds. Just as this man would have died of his sickness had not Christ come to him in mercy, so we will all perish if we do not receive from Christ pardon for sin and deliverance from its sinful power. The man was beside the means of healing, but he could not of himself avail of it. So it is with us spiritually. We cannot of ourselves partake of the means of salvation. Many believe that going to church and participating in religious rituals will bring salvation. It will not. A man may wrap himself up comfortably in bed, but that will not heal him. Neither will wrapping ourselves in religious activities bring us deliverance from sin's curse. Churches are filled with those who have partaken of the functions that are carried on there, and yet they are not saved from their sins. They are not in the least bettered, but rather each year sees them sink lower in sin. No, it is not by our efforts, but rather by the intervention of Christ that salvation comes to the sinner. He asks this man a question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Verse 6. Strange question to ask, is it not? Not really, for many sinners are unwilling to be made whole. The Saviour says in John 5, verse 40, "Ye will not come to me, that ye might have life." Men and women turn away from Christ and the gospel, so that this question is entirely appropriate. Let me challenge you with this question as we come to the end of our program. Will you obey the gospel and trust Christ by faith as your Saviour, and depend upon him alone, and not on your works or religious activities for salvation? If you are willing, then bow your head wherever you are and simply call upon Christ for mercy. The prayer of the sinner in the temple, recorded in Luke 18, verse 13, is one you can repeat. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He was answered, short and all as his prayer was. He was saved there and then, for Christ says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified." Luke chapter 18, verse 14. He went home saved. You may be saved today. Call upon the Lord and believe the scripture Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost when he said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Oh, call on the Lord today, dear listener, and be saved. Remember our program tonight at 9 o'clock, and do send for the free copy of our quarterly magazine. God bless you richly, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.